Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are so delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. Mm-hmm. And remember, you can always listen to our show as a podcast at EWTN Podcast Central. Just go out to ewtn.com/radio/podcast or wherever you happen to listen to your podcast. Now, today we're welcoming back the beloved television host and best-selling author, Megan Alexander, to our show. Megan is a woman of many talents, including almost two decades on Inside Edition and Thursday Night Football. She's an executive producer, an actress, an author, a keynote speaker, mm-hmm. and most importantly, she's married to her beloved husband, Brian, and a mother of three beautiful children. Megan has built a career centered on connecting people to the stories that matter and reflecting her faith and values in all of her work. And today she's going to join us remotely to speak about her newest book, The True Gifts of Christmas, which instills readers with the spirit of the wonder of the Christmas season with a heartfelt countdown to Christmas that explores daily gifts from beloved traditions. Go out to our website, meganalexander.com. You could get this beautiful book also at ewtnrc.com.
I like what she says about unwrapping the meaning behind our most cherished traditions. And she goes through about 25 of those. Mm-hmm. I've really learned some things I didn't know. It's wonderful. So it's very instructive for you personally, as adults, for your grandchildren. There's things to do there, so you spend time together. We got to make time for one another. And she says, if you dream of a Christmas with less hustle and bustle, more heartfelt cheer, then join me on a 25-day journey as we rediscover the forgotten spiritual symbolism of this glorious holiday. Each day, 25 traditions that she brings forth. It's wonderful. It's a great Advent devotion leading right up to Christmas Day. EWTNRC.com. Get the book there. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Megan Alexander. She's the author of a beautiful book, The True Gifts of Christmas. Go out to our website, meganalexander.com. Well, Megan, for our family that didn't see your show yesterday, we want you briefly to tell our family why you decided to write this beautiful book and your purpose and meaning behind it.
Yeah. Hi, Jim and Joy. Hey. Thank you so much for having me. I've always loved the holidays, always loved the Christmas season. Everybody has a favorite time of year. It is mine. And I think it's because as a young girl, I realized it's really an entry point to talk about your faith. My faith is very important to me, accepted Jesus Christ into my heart at age 5. Have always just enjoyed the worship music that is Christmas music and the opportunity to just talk about your faith when you normally couldn't. And as a mom of three now, I am doing the dance that all of us are doing, trying to bridge the secular with the spiritual. And I dread that question from my kids, is there really a Santa Claus? And that question has come. I have a 14-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 6-year-old. So the 14-year-old is still trying to help me out with the 10-year-old and the 6-year-old. But that was really what kicked off this book, guys, was the question of, was there really a Santa Claus? And I did a deep dive into the life of St. Nicholas. Yes, there really was someone named St. Nicholas who grew up in now modern day Turkey, who loved the Lord, devoted his life to the church, a life of poverty, fascinating character. Yeah. And so no, Santa Claus is not just Macy's Day parades and Coca-Cola and a jolly man, you know, with a white beard. The man himself, St. Nicholas, is an incredible role model for our children. And again, just absolutely embodied, you know, what it means to be a Christian. And so that was my original idea for the book. And then Loyola Press said, how about if we deep dive into all of our Christmas traditions? Mm. And sure enough, guys, Christ is all throughout so many of our seemingly secular traditions. And we break it down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you got 25 of them. It's really excellent, well done. The teaching is great, but everything's beautiful in the book. I mean, just the colors of things and what you have there. It's a delight to read. It's not long, like you have a page, maybe a little bit more. Something you could sit down with your grandchildren, you can read. It's not all that complicated, but that doesn't mean that it's not deep and meaningful. Regarding the book, you know, we were sharing in the first show, I think of, you know, evangelization, you know, sharing the gospel with those that might not know the Lord. And then we in the Catholic Church speak about the new evangelization. So evangelization is trying to reach those that, you know, may not have really delved into the faith, maybe never been baptized or been called to commitment and just kind of, you know, haven't dealt with that. And then there are people like us, and we all need an ongoing evangelization. We believe we all need ongoing conversion. And like I said, a number of your traditions I've been doing, but I didn't know some of the meanings in them. So we need to be evangelized, you know? And so you've come up with some things to say, Jim, you're putting up, you know, the stockings, but you really don't know why you're putting them up or what's happening. You got 30 stockings, what's it about? Yeah. So how do you see this, you know, your book working with those that are more secularized, maybe were never introduced to the Lord, and those who may be Christian people, maybe they were baptized, wandered away from the faith. How are you calling people to Christ, back to Christ with this?
Yeah. Well, again, a lot of these Christmas traditions, whether it's stockings, whether it's candy canes, whether it's Christmas trees, wreaths, first glance, you think, oh, it's just something material or it's something pretty to look at. But for example, the candy cane, that's a big tradition in my house, is we have a flashlight candy cane hunt for the kids. We sprinkle candy canes all around the backyard. All the kids come over with their flashlights, they race and fill their bags with candy canes. And when we're done and they all gather in the living room and they're counting their candy canes, my husband and I have tried to turn it into just a meaningful moment. And in researching the candy cane, guys, I didn't know that in the 1800s, it was created by a candy maker in Germany who wanted to create something that would teach kids about Jesus. And so the candy cane represents a shepherd's staff, a shepherd's hook. And the red is Jesus' blood. And the white is that we're washed white as snow by the gift of Jesus' death on the cross for us. And we just slip it in. Like you said, kids don't have a huge attention span, so you gotta be intentional about it and quick. But we just said, hey, does anybody know what the candy cane means? And that's my hope, is that there's a variety of traditions here that are represented, and I think there's something for everyone in all ages. And the first entry is about Advent calendars in general, which, you know, we love to have them and grab the chocolate from behind the Advent calendar every day as you go from 1 to 25. But my hope is that we approach Advent as equipping ourselves to talk about our faith all through the holiday season. Because whether it's bells representing hope, whether it's this incredible legendary story about the poinsettia, which also has deep spiritual roots and is a miracle in South America and the Catholic Church there, about a young girl that didn't have anything to bring to her local church on Christmas Eve. And so she grabbed some weeds, and when she set them in front of the baby Jesus, they magically turned into a beautiful red poinsettia representing our faith and the miracles in the Bible that are still alive and real today. So again, it's a variety of stories, traditions, and it's my hope that it equips us to start those conversations with friends that we normally wouldn't. You know, Jim, for me, I realize that Christmas is an opportunity to talk about our faith when people are more open than they are any other time of the year. Yeah. Stores are blasting Christmas music, which is worship music. You have a entry point to talk about Jesus' birth, put a nativity scene on your front lawn when other times of the year people might balk at religious symbols. So let's equip people, give them some creative ways to talk about their faith, and then send them off into the world.
Right.
It's great.
And you have the pictures are just beautiful, and they're lovely to look at, and it's wonderful. In our tradition, we do the Advent candle, and tell our family about the candlelight and candles at Christmas, and the mistletoe, because those are two of my favorites.
Yes, I love mistletoe, and I love the Advent calendar and the Advent wreath. Again, all anticipation. And mistletoe, more than just something cute at a party where you get stuck under the mistletoe with a cute guy, it represents love, that we can love each other during the holiday season in many different ways, gifting through being intentional. So yeah, those are great traditions, Joy.
Well, I have seven grandsons, and we hang the mistletoe, And, you know, I'll just stand under there if someone accidentally, you know, how these little guys can be. And they're like, oh, Nona, don't kiss me now. And it's like, but look, we're under the mistletoe. This is wonderful. And it's everything that we do as a mother and a grandmother, as you know, it has to be intentional, because nothing just happens with the decorations, with the smells. You do that beautiful thing with the oranges. And tell our family about the oranges.
The fruit, too.
And the fruits.
Oh, yes. No, I love doing the fruits and the bread, because, again, I don't know about y'all, but in my house, in my grandparents' house, that was a big part of their Christmas tradition, was to give fruit, to bake goodies. My grandma was an incredible cook. And so fruit, the fruits of the spirit, the fruit of the Lord. I tell the story of my family hails from Denmark, and they were very, very poor farmers. And at Christmas, they would hang up their stockings and be thrilled if they got an orange in their stocking on Christmas morning. That was a treat for them. That was special. And so, you know, the fruit reminds us of God's abundance and blessings and ways that we can bless other people. And I also think, just teaching my kids, let's go back to being intentional with our gifts. You don't have to spend a lot of money. Mm-hmm. It can be as simple as a fruit basket or a bread basket. And it's just reminds us of the sweetness, too, of the season, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. That's beautiful. Great. You know, we were reading in Ezekiel for a special observance regarding the temple, Lateran, St. Lateran. And it speaks in Ezekiel about the water that flows out of the temple, and how this water, as it flows out and travels along the earth and land, that it makes everything fruitful, fruitful. Like you said, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And it's a reminder to us again of the power of Christmas and how fruitful Christ's life has been, from those first apostles to where we are now, and that we're called to be a fruitful people in our own homes, families, open to life, open to children, and that our children need to understand they're like living water that's going out. Because you do so much with your neighbors, and you candy cane things with them, you invite them to, you're baking stuff, you're bringing it there, and you're praying, Lord, I want this to be fruitful. It's not like I'm sharing every word of the gospel or this is love just being made manifest, touching people, encountering human beings. And maybe somehow, some way, Lord, you'll make this fruitful in their lives. I think that's a beautiful one of the teachings that you got here on why fruit, why fruitfulness, and so on. Excellent.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Tell us about the Nutcracker, okay? Because you speak about the Nutcracker, what it meant to you, why it's important. I must have, maybe I've seen parts of that, but then you put it out of challenge. Maybe this year, go to the Nutcracker, see the ballet. You might have something locally that's being done, so we might very well take up that challenge. Why is the Nutcracker so important?
Yeah, well, you know, the Nutcracker to me really represents the magic of the holiday season. And I think that captures a lot of people originally, you know, is the lights and the sparkle and the music. I think the Nutcracker is some of the most beautiful music ever composed. Tchaikovsky. I walked down the aisle at my wedding to the Nutcracker, guys. I'm so into it. But that's also a story of wonder, of giving back, of dreaming. And I think as believers, we can't give up on our dreams that God has placed in our heart. And so I encourage people to go to the Nutcracker and just take it in. I think so much of the Christmas season is just taking in the wonder, the merriment, you know, celebrating, right?
You also mentioned that with the Nutcracker, you have the sense of community that comes out of this. And really, Christmas is that time of trying to build community and make the way of peace. Do you have some closing words for us before we let you go about your hope for how the book is used and what it might accomplish?
Yeah. Well, I just want people to know that you don't have to spend a lot of money to be intentional during the holiday season. I mean, it can be as simple as getting together and discussing some of these traditions. Start a new tradition. I mean, if anybody out there is discouraged and thinks, gosh, you know, my family didn't do these things, hey, what a great opportunity to start this year. And it's my hope that this book will give you some ideas, because it doesn't have to be elaborate and big. You know, I do the candy cane hunt in my backyard, but at one point I lived in New York City and I could just do it in my apartment building hallway, right? We don't have to be fancy. So just start. Think about something that you and your family can do together, something that can be meaningful. Talk to your parents, talk to your grandparents. Maybe there's some traditions that have been forgotten that you can bring back. But if I could just say one thing, Jim and Joy, it's my hope that we will realize that Christ is woven all throughout the holidays. Mm. And it is not nearly as secular as we think, not nearly as materialistic. A little bit of dust may have settled there, but you brush that dust off and you dig deeper. Jesus is alive and well all through the holiday season.
Megan, thank you so much. You are a great blessing. The True Gifts of Christmas by Megan Alexander, Unwrapping the Meaning Behind Our Most Cherished Traditions. Thank you for your witness and that you're at the crossroads of the secular world. You're working in secular media, and yet you are the presence of Christ there. And from time to time, you get to share him personally. So God bless you. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we had a wonderful 2 days with Megan Alexander sharing her beautiful book, The True Gifts of Christmas. You know, and I grew up in a family and time when everything about Christmas in my years of growing up in my house was about family. And that was a good thing, but it was absent of Christ. We didn't go to church. If you wanted to go to Mass, I could remember as a young teenager kind of thing, if you wanted to go to Mass, you could go to the midnight Mass with all your Catholic friends kind of thing. And that happens. And so I think this book, like if I suggested to my family, well, you should all do the Advent wreath and all the Advent readings and prepare yourself for Christmas, I don't think they would, I think they might be offended by it. This book, on the other hand, it has traditions, but it has the true meaning in at the bottom of it, which, like Megan was sharing, it takes you all back to Jesus, because there are many hidden, deep meanings that are faith-based, what we do. And I think the culture in the world has come to secularize everything. And so you kind of, is Jesus out there? He is out there. Yeah. And we have to pray during this time that the Lord would give us all eyes to see and ears to hear. And you might be in a nursing home. You might have not been in church in a really long time. And people say, oh, I don't want to go to church because I would feel like a hypocrite. Go to church. Go to church. Jesus is waiting for you. Mm. And when I had my radical conversion and came back to church, and my most beautiful Christmas that is etched in my brain is when we went to the cathedral, and it was Christmas Eve, and Father Donahoe came down the aisle, and he was holding up baby Jesus. Right. And he processed down the aisle, and I just started crying. And he put baby Jesus in the manger. And he was blessing us with baby Jesus. I mean, what an impact. And I was like, yes, I'm Catholic. Yes, this is Christmas. And it just, I mean, it was so beautiful, so powerful. It was an outward invisible sign of my inward reality that I had fallen madly in love with Jesus and I hadn't gotten over him yet.
Yes.
So go back to church. Jesus is waiting for you.
May there be a deepening in your life, like you were speaking about, Joy. So you've been to various expressions of worship for Christmas because you weren't Catholic. And then you came into the Catholic faith. But it gets deeper and deeper because that sanctuary is God's temple. And Jesus is in the temple, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the tabernacle. And then to have him hold up Jesus, and we're just celebrating him so much, put him, the eternal Word who is with God, who is God, who became flesh and dwelt among us. And when you understand that, and maybe you're getting a deeper understanding about that, it's just so incredibly awesome that this is the eternal Logos with skin, with a face made poor, the candy cane who's gonna bleed and die that you might have life. When you get that, when your kids get that, odds are they won't leave the church. Mm. They won't leave Christ. One of my favorite traditions for me, we're serious about Advent. I love Advent. I almost don't even want to go into Christmas because I need that time. It's kind of like a mini time of repentance, like Lent.
Yeah.
Need that. I love that it starts out with the second coming of Christ. Okay, it doesn't start with the nativity of Jesus. It starts with this one's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Mm-hmm. He's coming back to be the judge of the living and the dead. Don't miss that in this kid. You know, like I love that, that it just sets it like, oh, this is who he is. Right. And but he's humbling himself for this time. He's making himself as bread for you to consume. That's so powerful. So we're serious about that. And then we come into Christmas and come into the Christmas season, because Christmas isn't just a day. It's a season, into the Epiphany, the baptism of Jesus. If you do all that, it's really beautiful. But I love Christmas Eve when finally, because we don't put Jesus in the nativity scene until Christmas. And I just love when everything's quiet and we come back from Christmas Eve service and we, you know, we've really done Advent and Christmas because we do these shows, you know.
We have worked at
it. We've been speaking about it for so long. We're tired. But it's, and just to take Jesus finally, I take that, and we bought it at EWTNRC.
That's excellent. Go to EWTNRC.com. Yeah,
it's a very expensive Jesus. You go, and we put Jesus, I just put Jesus in the manger. I kiss him. I'm just here with him. I just worship him. Oh, man, that's just the best.
It's just the best. Well, and you know, and I think of, you know, when Father Donahoe is holding baby Jesus, he would be high and lifted up, and he's going to draw all men unto himself, even as a child. So this Christmas season, as we're preparing, as we're getting ready with great anticipation, keep your eyes wide open. Keep your ears wide open. But more importantly, keep your heart soft and tender and say, Lord, come inside my heart afresh and anew. And our traditions have changed. You know, everything used to be around the kids. Now we come home all alone on Christmas Eve, and we have a lovely little dinner, just the two of us. And it's different. And so you gotta go as it changes. But Jesus, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The family might not be there in all those traditions, but Jesus will always be there and be with you no matter where you are.
God says, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life, and the life is in the Son. He who has the Son has eternal life. He who does not have the Son, the wrath of God rests upon him. He's coming. He's coming again. We're remembering again his first coming. We're preparing for the second coming of the Lord. Come to Christ. Come back to the church. You're an important part of the CWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.